All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on this, the 10th day of November 2020. And I would like to remind you, I publish a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, and you can sign up for that by going to miningstocks.com. Also like to encourage you to consider signing up for Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? Go to chenpicks.com, chenpicks.com to sign up for Chen's letter. He certainly would have a lot to tell you about the biotech sector these days with the COVID vaccines and so forth. Chen is keeping up with all the players in that field. Very exciting if you have the time to follow it. And if you're a serious investor, you might want to consider signing up for Chen Lin. And Michael Oliver is with us today, who I always like to remind you. It's OliverMSA.com, OliverMSA.com for Michael's excellent work. Never have I found a better chartist, a better technical analyst, for my purposes, at least as an investor, than Michael Oliver. And that's why we love to have him with us. And he'll be with us in just a few minutes from now. And I want to thank all of you for listening, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. And please send along any comments, whatever they may be, send them along to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions4taylor@gmail.com. Our sponsors for today, which make this show possible, Benchmark Metals, NV Gold, Hannon Metals, Irving Resources, Noble Resources, Sitka Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, Grand Portage, GMV Minerals, and SK Mining Corp. Before I begin talking about today's show, I want to tell you about a video interview that I did with Ben Slager. He is the CEO of Alliance Bioenergy. Now, this is a company that trades in the United States under the symbol ALLM. The stock is selling at a mere 8 cents a little while ago when I checked on it here in the United States. The company has a greatly de-risked proprietary process of turning any kind of cellulose material into ethanol, and do it at a far less expensive cost than the current producers of ethanol, mostly from corn. Importantly, this ethanol is produced from non-food stocks. I mean, there's complaints about ethanol taking away corn, causing corn prices to rise. So this company is able to take any kind of cellulose, including waste material, cellulose waste material, and use it to produce ethanol at a cost that's considerably less than the producers of ethanol from corn. In addition, the company produces a biodegradable plastic byproduct. Now, it's not, that is a byproduct that should really add to its bottom line and to its profit margins. Now, I should hasten to add, this company is not currently in commercial production. It is on its fourth generation technology evolution. It is moving forward very well, but I did, as I say, interview Ben Slager. He's had a tremendous track record in the past, successful technology, materials technology companies that he's advanced and taken forward and then sold off to bigger companies. And I think my own opinion is there's a pretty good chance he'll do it again with this company, and that's the reason that I do cover it in my newsletter. So you might want to go to my YouTube channel and view that interview I did with Ben Slager. It's jtaylormedia.com. Jay Taylor Media is the YouTube channel. You can also see it at my website, Jay Taylor Media, if you go to the videos page there. I've titled today's show, America's Economy Under Tyranny. Jeff Dice, Peter Ball, and Michael Oliver return this week. Now, Jeff Dice's former boss, Ron Paul, frequently stated that if America remains free, we will be prosperous. COVID-19 has been used as an excuse to remove our God-given rights to assemble, worship, and speak freely, not to mention being forced to wear masks, close our businesses, and stay locked down inside our homes. Strong scientific evidence arguing against existing tyrannical mandates, of course, is not permitted to be heard. It is censored by biased left-wing social media monopolies, akin to, in my way of thinking as one who lived through the Cold War, very much like the kind of censorship that was common in the Soviet Union during those years. I remember reading things in the Wall Street Journal about how the agricultural sector and the government was denying science in order to continue their propaganda and to continue their policies. So it is only the science. And we hear lots about people saying, just follow the science. So the problem with that mantra is that sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It depends on whether it fits. And when it fits, that's fine. When it doesn't, they deny any kind of alternative notions or ideas, whether it's the climate issues or the COVID or any number of other issues. It seems like politics is being railroaded over the people in many cases to fit the needs of the rulers rather than the electors. In any event, what impact will the loss of freedom, which I think it's pretty clear that COVID-19 has cost us tremendously in the economy, which is why yesterday when the news of the COVID vaccine came out, the stock market jumped at the open something like 1,500 points on the Dow, pretty amazing. So obviously everybody believes and understands that locking down is an extremely costly event, although the medical scientists seem to focus, and naturally focus on what they know, that's medical science. But the bigger picture, what is the cost, the social cost, the economic cost, which leads to social problems? What is that is something that isn't really looked at and certainly was not the focus of the Democratic Party as they assured us that they were trying to help us. And I'm not trying to assign any motives, but I think obviously the loss of our freedom, what will it mean? And once COVID is taken care of, will there be a return to liberty? Will we see government step away and return our liberties to us? That's not been the track record of governments in the past. When governments take something, they very rarely allow you to have your liberties back. And of course, that may go to the Declaration of Independence that told us where our liberties came from. They didn't come from human beings and from they certainly didn't come from government. They come from God, or if you believe in natural laws, then you can make that case as well. Well, but in any event, we'll be talking to Jeff Deist, who was Ron Paul's chief of staff during Ron's run for the presidency. He's head of the Mises Institute. He'll be with us in the second half of today's show. Peter Ball will update us on three exciting gold projects that the company has, NV Gold has, that are two of them in Nevada and one up in the Yukon. Very exciting stories, a very, very low cap company that I think has extraordinary upside potential. But right now I'm happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me, and really glad to have him here every other week, and it's always a treat every other week to have Michael. Thanks for being with me again, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
Good to have you with me, and I know that you're up there in the clouds, a mile high. You moved up into Colorado somewhere up there in the high elevation and enjoying a little snow. What about this equity market? Looks like it's kind of in high elevation territory as well.
Well, if you'll recall back in mid-September on your show, I made a comment, it was like a one-sentence comment, that when they do come out with a vaccine, you know, sell it within a week, you'll sell the top. Okay, well, it may just be within 5 minutes of the announcement yesterday you made the high. NASDAQ is 1,000 points off its high, NASDAQ 100. Mm-hmm. And if it drops about another 400 points below where it is right now, and it's the leader index, it's front-end loaded, 50% of the front end of that market's made up of five stocks, and everybody can name them. They're all tech-related. If those leadership symbols break down, then MSA argues that forget all your analysis of these other sectors. They will join in to the downside. Mm-hmm. The leaders led the upside. The leaders will lead the downside. Mm-hmm. And I think we're about 400 NASDAQ 100 points away from numbers they don't want to see again.
Wow.
And it's amazing how rapidly that rally yesterday failed. And I think there's a reason for it. And the reason is the stock market decline that began early this year, there are fundamental underlying reasons for that asset category to go down, aside from the fact that the price is high and it's been up a long time. That's sort of a subjective thing. But objectively, fundamentally, it was priced by the central bank. The Fed deliberately drove stock prices up. That was their stated objective. Bernanke made a speech and wrote a paper on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they achieved it. And it worked because they started from a very low point. They tried to defend the stock market in 2007, latter half, when it started to get wobbly. 2008, they didn't succeed. The market collapsed. But finally, it got to a price level in early 2009 in the 600s where the S&P was just, okay, that's cheap enough. It's discounted the bad stuff. And therefore, their monetary policy worked, quote, end quote, at that point, and continued to fuel beyond reality the stock market rally. During that time, other asset categories were neglected and sold off, like commodities, basic real-world things. I think the shift is underway. We've defined that the Bloomberg Commodity Index has turned. One laggard, and I've watched this one very carefully, within the Bloomberg Commodity Index is the energy complex. Now, natural gas broke out by our metrics a few months ago and is above the breakout levels right now.
Mm-hmm.
But crude oil didn't. And crude oil-related stock sectors, ETFs that you can monitor, XLE, XOP, OIH, and so forth, are extremely depressed, off the page. I mean, we're never going to need oil again in our lifetime, type of chart. Oil is turning as far as we can tell, and all it has to do is loiter between now and the end of the month, and it's going to close with a breakout on our quarterly momentum. And if oil joins the Bloomberg, now the oil complex is probably 25 to 30% of the Bloomberg complex.
Yes.
So it's a big component, and it needs to participate, and it is now. The grains have already lifted off. If you look at the soybean charts, they've gone ballistic since we turned positive back several months ago. Corn has joined in, wheat's joined in, sugar's joined in, you name it, copper, et cetera. So we have a commodity explosion. And I think what needs to happen and become apparent to investors is that this is not an economic boom in commodities. It's a monetary situation where assets are being shifted by large investors and funds, at this point in time anyway, out of stocks into things that are cheap and basic and can't go lower.
Yeah.
And that would be the commodity complex. Mm-hmm. In which case, if you've turned the Bloomberg, as we argue you have, up, and I think it could surge, right now it's 74 is the price of the Bloomberg Commodity Index, we think the next stop might be 110. Well, that's a huge percent move.
Wow.
And that doesn't even get it up to high levels. But that kind of surge will definitely put wind in the back of gold. And I think there's still this confusion out there among investors about, well, if the stock market goes down, gold's going to go down. Well, we've reported to our subscribers over the last several weeks, going back 50 years in charts, overlaying gold, S&P, gold, S&P, gold, S&P, various periods of time covering the 50-year span. And the correlation between the coincident correlation between gold and the S&P is minor. In fact, it's far, far less than a coin toss. Most of the time, they're opposite. And people just aren't aware of that. All they remember are events of recent, like March sell-off, for example, in the gold miners that was coincident with the S&P, and certain other times of recent years. But the actual, if you go back over 50 years, there's not a good correlation. In fact, it's better than odds that gold will be opposite the S&P.
Interesting.
And that's what we're arguing is about to happen. That needs to be demonstrated to investors. And I think it needs to be done with a jolt. And therefore, what we're watching right now is, one, the upturn in crude to help the Bloomberg. Two, a downturn in the NASDAQ 100, which is the heavily weighted leadership developed economy index in the world. In fact, there's no developed economy index, whether it's Germany or Japan or the S&P even, that looks anything like the NASDAQ 100. It's all been front-end loaded.
Yeah.
If that guy turns down and we get the Bloomberg to turn up, that's going to shock a lot of people in terms of what the reality is, namely asset class shift, monetary policy will drive commodities up and not help stocks at this point because they're not cheap anymore. This is not 2009.
They're not cheap. And certainly the equity markets are seem to be pretty unrelated to the underlying earnings and so forth. So it's really been a phenomenon of monetary inflation that's pumping and moving things around. And, of course, we're basically out of time, but that's really what we should be watching then for, is that commodity sector. And just real quickly, Michael, because, you know, the big hedge fund guys, those guys can do all kinds of things. But for little people, what is an ETF they might look at, one or two that they might look at for commodities in general?
Well, I don't want to specify one. I would go Google it. Look for commodity index ETFs. Go for ones that have high volume, daily volume, because there are a lot of them that are fairly illiquid. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily that you invest in that itself. That's more of a bellwether of further wind at the back of gold. And we still think gold will beat commodities on a percent basis. And we also think that silver will beat gold on a percent basis.
That's right, very volatile. All right, Michael, well, thank you so much. Always great to hear your thoughts and your predictions on these things, because more often, certainly far, far better than a coin flip, you're right. So thank you so much again for being with us. Okay, folks, well, we do have to go to break, but when we come back, Peter Ball will be with me, NV Gold. He's going to talk about several things going on. Three properties that are seeing the drills turn or will be very shortly, and they're all very exciting, I think, high prospective projects that you might want to pay attention to, especially given the fact that the company's market cap is as low as it is. We'll be right back with Peter Ball.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Novo Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Pilbara region of Western Australia. Novo has recently partnered with Sumitomo Corporation of Japan to evaluate, advance, and develop the company's Australian gold projects. With over $40 million in cash and $60 million committed from Sumitomo, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.